Yeah, first of all, I'd love to be with you in Colombia, and I'm very sorry for that, but I'm not there. Whatever, what I want to do today is I want to tell you a story what I had to deal with in the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And the story was about providing my software. It's this CAD system for bicycle frame builders for different platforms, especially for macOS. And yeah, some problems came up at this time. And my experiences I made and yeah, what I found out, I want to share with you. That's the main point of today. And first of all, before I start with the story itself, maybe there are some web links, so I can see you just have paper in front of you, so maybe you cannot use it in the moment, but for the people who will review or view this video afterwards, maybe they could be interesting. So there's a Git repository and a small website with a tutorial of all that what I want to show you today. So maybe it's a chance for you to have a look at this document too. And what I will present you is not just a result of my work. I also had a little help from friends, from Kevin, from Paul and from Alexander, and together they brought me on the right path, I think, to solve the issue I had. Yeah, of course, what happened to my situation is something was working very well until the end of last year, and yeah, then something came up with the environment with macOS in this case, but let's talk first about what's necessary for deliver software to customers, and in this case, if it comes to bicycle frame builders, these are craftsmen, and they are not IT guys. So one of these very well-known quality requirements to software is it should be usable, and in this case it should be easy to install and to start the application, so each of them wants to start the app with a desktop icon and not with a command line. That's one of the requirements. Then software should be free of malware, and therefore Apple has an authorization process, the code signing process for that. And when it comes to portability, software should be available on different platforms. So, yeah, when everything looks fine, there comes up a troublemaker, and in this case, it was the operating system of from Apple itself. In September of last year, macOS Sequoia came out, and of course a new operating system brings new features with it, AI support, and a better window control, iPhone mirroring, and very specifically, the gatekeeper changed its functionality. And this brought me direct into my issues I had. The gatekeeper and the new functionality of the gatekeeper prevented to start my unsigned application on macOS. And what came up at this time was that it was not just a rumor, that it does not work. I really was affected by this new gatekeeper features. So at the end, My unsigned app for macOS was working on the previous operating system version on macOS Sonoma, but it didn't work on macOS Sequoia anymore. And also the error messages they came up were a little bit strange. So on the one hand, the Finder on macOS totally gave up. Then some security messages came up, like the software the customer is starting on its Mac is a threat to his or his macOS, and maybe a threat to the complete macOS universe. And also the previous available feature that you can define some exceptions in privacy and security on macOS didn't work anymore for the solution existing so far. And what was the approach so far? Until end of last year, my application followed the standard macOS app structure. I think maybe most of you are familiar with that. Maybe if we can have a look in the auditorium, how many people, how much of you ever dealt with a macOS application? Maybe raise your hand so that I can get the feedback. And okay, so yeah, thanks. So you're familiar with this structure, I think. And what I did in this case, very important, is this info plist file. And this has some definitions for the app itself, and the important entry there is the CF bundle executable, which means which is your primary executable in the application. What I had so far was a shell script there to start a runtime environment. This is the vanilla wish from Christian Werner, and then as a parameter, the app I wrote in Tiki. And this solution did not work anymore. And then my trouble began. And what I found so far was, at the end, maybe I didn't want to know that much about all these things, but it did not help, and I had to dive into that. What I found out, most people of you, I think, are familiar with that. The macOS binaries are FAT binaries. They have this macro structure. So you have the binary for the ARM64, the new Mac hardware platform and processor platform, and the x86 binaries in one file. Then I learned about the macOS notarization process. And what I found out that that's my findings. Maybe we have to double check this afterwards or in the next time. What I found out was that the notarization process does not allow binaries with payloads. So this is the standard behavior if you have a DCL kit or a zip kit or also with a shell script. And yeah, it doesn't allow shell scripts anymore. So far. Any questions so far, maybe? Okay, so I will continue. What was the solution approach? So the more I dived into the topic, the more I was confused. But at the end, I found out that the DigiChat app was available for Tickle 9 in between in version 1.5.2, and an investigation into the app structure, I found out there was something new, like frameworks, a DCL framework and a DK framework, and that was totally new to me on the one hand, and on the other hand the big question was how do I get this. And Maybe another question into the auditorium. You are aware of this situation? That there is a framework available? That was my experience, that this was new to me, and then I had a contact with Kevin Wiener, and at the end I found that there is a specific build script to create this this LMDK frameworks. And this was a very first important step to into the solution that I found at the end. And what I want to show you now is not just a theory, but something more in practice. So if anybody of you come into this situation or wants to understand what I had to do there, it's more like a tutorial, a step-by-step tutorial, and how to deal with creating this app structure and also to create a code signed app for macOS. So the expected outcome for this manual is at first you have a StarKit which is available, which you can run on your environment, and you want to build a distributable app in a DMG file, so that you can distribute this app to your customers. And in a more detail, this process step contains three main steps. The first one is build the DKDK framework. The second one is take your StarKit and create an app bundle with that. And the third step is to do the code signing stuff, so that macOS signs your app and you're able to distribute an app that everybody could start on his or her macOS. A little bit of documentation. LittleFeeder is a very roughly built website that built in the last days to provide this documentation. But the step-by-step procedure, it's not the complete script, it's just an outline. For the first step to build the DKDK framework is to compile it on the one hand, and on the other hand to exchange some references, so that all the libraries which are used in this DKDK framework points into the framework and not outside of it. And this has to be done on the first step for DK and then the second step for the DK2. That's the first step. Second process step is to build the application bundle. So it's more on copying different sources into the right location, to do some cleanups, and very specific for an app, we have once again to control the references to the libraries that I used. And yeah, something else to say at this point. Yeah, this install main is the tool to change these references to the libraries. The third step is the code signing process. It's more common part if you create apps on macOS, and you do this by shell scripts. In this case, there are some specific tools, the O tool, which gives some deeper insight into the libraries you have there. With the V tool, you can do some edits to the macro format. You have to update some attributes, file system attributes. The Python macrolib is responsible for some header edits in the app binaries. Important is the code sign unlock keychain. This gives you the access to your developer ID you need for this. The code sign tool itself creates the signing, and the Dito tool is there to create the zip file. So in this step, you take your previously built app structure created in a temporary, create this once again in a temporary directory and do some cleanups and prepare this app for the code signing process to upload your app to the macOS notarization process. This is the second step. And this XC run runs some Xcode tools, which is a necessary environment on your Mac OS. And the last step is, if all this was successfully, you can request your code signing request the status on it, and if this is okay, you can staple this successful signing onto your app, and at the end you build it with this HDE UT the disk image which is containing the app that should work on each macOS. Yeah, and at the end, you should have something like that, a disk image and containing the app you want to provide and share with your customers. Yeah, that's so far that what I want to share with you. So I'm open for any questions.
I've got a question.
Yep.
First of all, thank you. I know he can't hear me. Basically, no one uses my Mac version anymore.
For our discussion.
So I don't know if you want to say that. So this is very helpful. I'm using Andrew Wish's Mac report.
Sure.
And then I have a question.
I'm simply fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'll message
the
question.
I cannot hear.
It's for him. Can the app self-update and download new Tickle code that they can run?
So the whole zip is signed. No.
No. So there's no way to update itself.
Not inside the bundle. You have to save it somewhere else, probably. I don't know. But the zip is signed.
Updating the code from the.
So yeah, for example, sorry, this is not going too much type, but for example.
New Tickle code that can run.
Perhaps we.
Maybe I don't bother. Sorry.
We try to use. I will mute.
Try to mute your.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will mute here. And
what is the idea behind this question?
Okay, I will mute them.
So you can.
So, John, you may speak.
Should I get closer?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can hear me now?
He cannot answer.
He cannot reply.
Okay. So, my app allows people to make coffee by writing little Tickle code, and they change the Tickle code to make different coffee. I think if they do this, this isn't allowed, because then it's no longer signed.
Okay, we will unmute ourselves. Please unmute ourselves.
Yeah, so this means the customer changes the code, right?
Yes.
I think if the customer is changing the code, I think the code signing process and the gatekeeper will not allow that. But that's just a guess. Yeah.
But could the app present a dialog box to accept
you may speak now, so he can hear us.
Okay.
Do you need an Apple developer ID for this stuff, for the signing stuff, or is it possible without signing up for Apple developer ID?
So my experience is that you need to have this developer ID.
Okay.
Otherwise, you do not have access to the notarization process, which is running on the Apple's servers. And one of the important parts is that your developer ID is written to the code. So when you check the properties of the signed app, you can see the developer's ID. The one of the questions is if it's part of your business, you will have this developer ID and you will invest that amount of money. I think it's about $100. If it's an open source project and you want to provide something signed, that's maybe a specific question how to solve this and how to get this money.
We come close and we will switch you on.
This is just a general.
So,
just trying to follow up on the question about loading new code. Surely you still have the source command in your Tickle code. Can you not just source in a file from somewhere else to run new code?
So meaning you have a specific file outside of the app and you source this file?
Yes.
I have not tested that. It's. I think the question is about how intelligent the gatekeeper is to detect that or not. Maybe we just have to try it.
Thanks.
If it looks for source,
any other questions?
So I will give a final word and thanks, and you switch the mic on. Yeah. Okay, Manfred, thank you that we had you here. So thanks that it happened, and I would have loved to have you on the TK panel, but it will be difficult because you're a cat expert, so anybody can see it. That's all TK. If you see those images, so Manfred is really a TK expert, and he has different methods and running, and he's also cross-platform, so he's doing that on three platforms. And we have in the TK project, we have quite a couple of cat programs programmed entirely in TK, and that's, yeah, it is as it is. But now you're not here, unfortunately, today, so we thank you a lot, and yeah. So Thorsten is asking if it is TK Canvas.
Would be Latin reply.
Have to.
The Canvas is the TK path. It's not the standard TK Canvas.
And Manfred has also provided for the TK state some pictures. I will show them later in the presentation. So thanks a lot, Manfred. Great.